Our scripture lesson today comes from 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. And we'll look at the first five verses. This is Paul writing to young Timothy, a preacher. And Paul writes, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." I'm going to stop there a second. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom." Is there a little bit of weight behind this charge? Okay, it's not like, "Hey, Timothy, do this." But, you know, in the name of God, in the name of our Savior Christ Jesus, by the way, he's going to judge you. And, you know, by his appearing in his kingdom, he calls you to this. And then he goes on and says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." You know, there's an interesting thing there too. You know, we love to think that the Bible here tells us to go around and start criticizing everybody. And it does call us to rebuke certain things. It does call us to exhort, which just means explain. It calls us to reprove, which just really means to explain how something it works. To give insight. But it says to do it with great patience and instruction. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you," in other words, don't be like everybody else, "you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." The rest of that chapter really is the closing words of Paul that is saying, "Do this because I'm getting ready to retire." Okay, that's kind of what Paul's saying. "For I have already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight." Okay, Timothy, it's your turn to take over this ministry. Matthew Henry, who is a Bible commentator, not of our time, once said that this charge to Timothy by Paul is an awful charge. Now, we hear that word and we immediately think it's crummy, it's bad, it's terrible. But think about the word. It's an awful, okay? Full of awe, all right? What he means is that this charge is awe-inspiring. Think about that. What awe it is to be called by God the Creator, by Jesus the Redeemer, into work for the kingdom. Now think about Jim Phelps getting his message, you know, on his tape recorder, or nowadays on his cell phone, like Dean got. And instead of thinking it came from, you know, spy headquarters, it was like, "Hey, this is God." And you know, "I'm the one who you're scared of and the one who you love and all that stuff, and I got a job for you to do." Is that awe-inspiring? Is it challenging? Is it weighty to be called into service by the one who judges and the one who also redeems? You know, Paul reflects this awe in 1 Corinthians 9:16. I'm going to see, can we pull that up? 1 Corinthians 9:16. There we go. This is Paul. Do I say this merely from a human point of view? Doesn't the law say the same? Oh, 9:16, I'm sorry. Instead of 9:8. There we go. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. And what does Paul then say after that? This is awe-inspiring. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Have you ever thought about your calling in that context? Here's Timothy being told by Paul, fulfill your ministry, live into the things that God, the judge, Jesus Christ the Redeemer, has called you to do. And Paul gets this idea, woe to you if you do not do it, for you have been called by God to do this. That's awful. And it's awful, right? Woe to me if I do not heed this call. So Paul reminds Timothy and us as well that our calls, our ministries, our gifts are from God and to be used for the glory of God. The Bible tells us about Jesus, that all things were created by Him and for Him. See, so that means our gifts were created by Him. And are they for us? No, they're for Him. Is our calling for us? It's for us to do. But it was created by Jesus and for Jesus. So while this charge is directly given to Timothy, we are called in the same way in our callings that Jesus Christ calls us to. We are called to proclaim what Jesus has done. That's all preaching means. Preaching doesn't mean standing up behind a pulpit. Preaching just means to proclaim what you know. So when you proclaim what you know about God, when you proclaim what you know about Jesus, when you go and tell somebody, Jesus loves you, and I know that He loves you because He loves me, and I discovered this. Guess what? You're preaching. Yeah, it sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? But what you're doing is proclaiming what you know to be true about Jesus. And we are all called to proclaim what Jesus Christ has done. Now, we're also all to be ready, just like Paul says to Timothy, we're all to be ready in season and out of season. The famous preacher John Chrysostom says it this way, just as the fountains, even though none may draw from them, still flow on, and the rivers, though none drink from them, still run, so must we do all on our part in speaking, even when none give heed to us. See? Think about that. The water fountain sits and runs and runs and runs. We're not talking about the kind at school that you got to push the button on. We're talking about, you know, the kind that the towns have where it sits and those fountains run, because those were there because people needed to come there and get water, right? And they run all the time, even when nobody's taking advantage of it. That fountain is ready in season and out of season. That river that runs, even when nobody's drawing water, is ready in season and out of season to provide the life-giving water that is its mission to provide. And so we're supposed to be like that. See, what he's saying is, even if it may not be convenient for us, it may well be opportune. It may be convenient for God in those moments. Remember that this is Paul bringing this message of charge to Timothy. Paul, who preached in the unfavorable condition of prison cells and sinking ships. Paul, who preached in the midst of storms when he could have been worrying about saving his own neck. Paul, who preached in the unfavorable conditions of angry mobs and violent protesters. He knows what he's talking about here, whether the time is favorable or not. And again, this charge we read, yes, it's specific to Timothy, but ours is to be no different. We are to give all for the Lord in our calling. We are to think first of His glory, His kingdom, and His purpose in our ministries, and live fully into that calling. And I want to look at a few verses here, because you're going to see that a lot of this same language is used when Paul's talking to other people. So he's not just saying, Timothy, this is for you to do, and nobody else. Okay, so in Colossians 4:17, so we've got Colossians 4:17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. Does that sound like what he told Timothy? Fulfill your ministry. In other words, don't accept a calling from God and then not finish it. Complete the work you have received in the Lord. Can we go to 1 Thessalonians 5? Verse 6. We'll start at verse 6. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. And we're going to go on through verse 11. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In other words, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Now I want to tell you a story about, I've told you this story before, but it's such a good illustration of what we're talking about here. Dean talked in the children's story about how sometimes you feel like you get a big mission and you're not sure you can accomplish it. I think sometimes we get little missions and we're not sure we can accomplish them, okay? On a snowy morning in England, in this little church, there was only six people there that morning. The pastor didn't even show up. He couldn't get there. This is back before cars, so I don't know if he couldn't walk through the snow drifts or whatever, but the pastor couldn't get there. There were five members of the church there and one guest, a young man. Now, if there was ever an excuse not to show up for church the first time, what would it be, right? A big snowstorm. But here's a guest. And they said, well, we can't go home. We have a guest this morning. And one of the five members was a deacon. Deacons, raise your hands if you would be willing to preach with no notice and no prep. I don't see any hands up. All right, but they all looked to this deacon and said, you're kind of the only close to professional that we got here, so you're up. Now, I love the story because it says that in an attempt to make several points, he made none in his preaching. And so he finally turns to the young man and he just looks at him. This deacon looks at the young man and he says, "Young man, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus." And service is over. That young man credits that moment in his life with turning him towards faith. How many of you have heard of Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon is known as the Prince of Preachers during the Great Awakening in Europe. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people heard his preaching and came to faith in Jesus Christ. One deacon in a little church, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of winter, in the middle of a snowstorm, was faithful to a small call that felt so big on one Sunday morning to get up and proclaim, to preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of that one simple act of living into a mission impossible, thousands are in the kingdom of heaven today. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." Now this is coming from the same letter where in chapter 4 Paul writes, "Fulfill your ministry." "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel." And how are we supposed to do this? "By the power of God," and let's look at the next verse too, "who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." It can be hard sometimes to live fully into our callings. It can be hard just to live fully into our lives. Yesterday, the men were challenged to live fully alive for the glory of God. To live fully alive for the glory of God. Ken Davis, the comedian, kept referring to a quote from St. Irenaeus: "The glory of God is a man fully alive." He talked about living past our fears into the life we were created to live. Folks, I know it can be hard. And I know you probably don't believe this coming out of an ex-motorcycle racing, triathlon training, thrill seeker of a pastor. Okay? But I used to be afraid of everything. I was afraid to sit in a Sunday school class and say one sentence in front of a group of three or four people. I was afraid that my thoughts would be judged so worthless that I wouldn't say a word. I was so afraid of failing at anything that I did that most of the time I wouldn't even try. I wouldn't even try anything new. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. Whether it is living our life or living our calling. And I'm going to say that both of those are designed to be one in the same. Designed by God to be one in the same. God calls us to live in His power, both for us and for Him. So this is our last verse, and this comes from towards the end of 2 Timothy 4. So 2 Timothy 4, and we'll start at verse 17. Thank you, Bob. This is after Paul has given the charge to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. He's talked about how his ministry is coming to an end. And he's writing some encouragement and talking about how at times people deserted him, at times no one supported him. And he says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. When we get afraid of living into what God has called us to be, let's remember Paul, who suffered so much more than most of us will ever experience, and yet took joy in remembering that the Lord always stood by his side and gave him strength. This year at youth camp, a young girl, Amanda Stout, who goes to a church in Mount Zion, got up and shared about something that she had experienced about God's provision in her calling. She went to a youth retreat with the church that she goes to, and at the youth retreat, they had an opportunity to get a card that was in an envelope, and they could choose to open the envelope or not. But here's the catch. They didn't get to look at the envelope to see what it was unless they agreed before they opened it that they were going to do whatever was written on the card inside. So they couldn't look at it and then say, oh no, that's too hard. Mission impossible. This is your mission if you choose to accept it. She opened the envelope. She said, yes, Lord, I'll do this for you. She opened the envelope, and inside was a card that said, collect 500 toys to give out to children in need this Christmas. She said she took it home and told her mom, how am I ever going to do this? How are we ever going to get 500 toys? And so she talked to her mom and she talked to her aunt, and they said, well, why don't you send out flyers to all the churches around and see if any of those would like to help out? And so she did that, and she started getting phone calls. Now, she doesn't go to the Church of the Brethren, but the Oakley Brick Church of the Brethren gave her a call and said, Amanda, we've got a bunch of toys here for you. We got your flyer, and a bunch of people thought it was really cool what you're doing, so we've got a bunch of toys for you. And I think at that point she was up to about 100 toys that she'd collected through friends and family. And she went over to the Oakley Brick Church of the Brethren, and there were tables full of toys in their fellowship hall. She said they donated over 200 toys. Now, what's even more amazing about God's provision in this story is that the Oakley Brick Church of the Brethren is aligned with some other churches in the Cerro Gordo area, because it's just outside of Cerro Gordo, between Decatur and Cerro Gordo. And The Brethren Church there in Cerro Gordo, not the Church of the Brethren, but our sister denomination, the Brethren Church, that pastor had been in the new, I think, Dollar General in town. I guess it's the new big thing in Cerro Gordo. There's a Dollar General there. And he had walked in, and the clerk there, or the manager, said to him, Terry, we've got all these toys that we have to get rid of. Do you know anybody that could use them? Otherwise, we're just going to throw them away. I don't know if their packaging was ripped or something, but... Well, he's like, yeah, I do. In fact, when he had seen the flyer, Terry's one of our counselors at youth camp. And he knew the name when he saw the flyer. The end of the story basically is that through all the different efforts that she did, through people donating money so she could go out and buy gifts, through donations of gifts, she collected almost 600 toys for Christmas. A 17-year-old young lady who said, yes, Lord, I'll go out there on a limb and I'll do what you ask me to do. Even if it seems impossible, I'll do it. When we do that, we see God's glory shine through. When we take on that challenge that we don't think we can do ourselves, we don't end up looking to take the credit. God gets the glory. So today, you're going to get a challenge. And we've got a couple offering plates, and there are envelopes in those offering plates. If you want to take one, go ahead and take it. You don't have to open it. Take the envelope home and pray about it. Ask the Lord what He's calling you to do. Maybe He's going to call you to do something that we couldn't have even thought of to write down on an envelope. Some of these things are super easy for some people, but they might not be easy for someone else. Some of them are going to seem very small. Some of them are going to seem monumental and impossible. I'm not going to tell you what's in them. But each one has a mission in it. That as you pray about it, you decide whether you want to open that envelope. But I am going to ask you this. If you open it, you're agreeing with God, not with me, but with God, that you're going to do what's on the slip of paper inside the envelope. I will tell you this. None of it is impossible. None of it is outside the gifts that each and every person in this room has right now. It may be challenging. It may take you outside your comfort zone. But none of the things that are written in these envelopes are impossible to do. In fact, none of them is as hard as collecting 500 toys for children this Christmas. So as we sing our closing hymn today, we're going to pass the plates around. And if you wish to take an envelope, please take it. Pray about it. If you open it and need help, just come to me. We'll talk about how you can do it. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, you call us to do so many things that we wonder if we even have the abilities to do. And so as we pray over these challenges, Lord, we pray for your courage to step forward in faith. We pray for your equipping, your enablement, to live into the callings that we accept, the missions that we accept. And we pray for your power to fill us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.